sense the power of His Word and the desire to share what He has placed on my heart. Will you join me as we open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? And we're going to start with verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we bow before you as women who want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this place to come and worship you in song. Father, may you find in us hearts that are willing to be nudged and urged by your very Spirit. May you find in us hearts that want to have your word hidden deep inside of us. Lord, I pray that you would move me out of the way, and may your words speak forth. May you rule and reign in this place tonight, in all areas, with the children, with the men, and with us women here. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and the women said, Amen. If we were to put these verses on the overhead and put them up on the wall, together we could probably easily pick out the key words. Most likely we would agree on God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, wisdom, spiritual. Now what? We pick the key words. How do we take those key words and apply them to our very life? First, I believe God wants to show us through this awesome portion of Scripture how we can be prepared to receive those things He has revealed to us. Second, how do we live a Spirit-filled life? A life where I am controlled by God. To know we are able to spiritually discern His voice, His Holy Spirit speaking to each one of us. And then third, how are we to live according to His purpose, His plan? For our individual lives as women, and then as corporately, a body of believers, beloved, daughters of the great I Am. As we look at having a life prepared, let's focus on verses 9 through 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them, and I pause here, I included verse 9 because the them in verse 10 refers to the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I love those simple words like things, them, that refer to the very Spirit of God. So back to verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. As we look at being prepared, let's look at what it's not. We know from our last lesson that things, the blessing God has prepared for those who love him, cannot be attained by thinking about them. There are aspects of God we cannot grasp in our own intellect or by our human understanding. The natural man learns so much by watching and listening. We listen and we watch with all our God-given senses. We observe people, their body language, their expressions. We listen not only to their words, but their tone of voice. We listen for pauses and emphasis. Sometimes we even listen for what's not being said. And we know that in these natural abilities, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. We misunderstand. We misinterpret a look. You know, maybe a sister is troubled and we think, whoo, she doesn't like me anymore. Our natural abilities get us into trouble. But at the same time, we can, with awe and wonder, observe a newborn baby and how she develops from being a minute old into being a year old, and all that she's able to take in through her human intellect, her brain growing, developing. And it's with awe I look at my sweetness Juliana, of what she's been able to do in 1 year. J. Vernon McGee says, there are certain things which cannot be attained by human means. So how can then we be prepared? We are prepared when we are students of the Bible, learning, meditating, memorizing Scripture. In Ephesians 6, Paul exhorts us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What condition is our sword in? Are we ready? Are we armed with the very Word of God? In the book, The Covering, Hank Hanegraaff says, armed with the puny sword of reason, we stand impotent before the enemy who has studied us thoroughly and is intimately acquainted with all of our vulnerabilities. It is not enough to have the Word of God in our homes and in our hands. We must deftly wield it on the battlefield of life. Do we, as women, carve out the necessary time and attention for this discipline? In the same way we groom ourselves physically each morning with care and concern, well, some days more than others, but for the most part, so we must do the same with our spiritual selves. We learn the truths of his word by spiritual discernment, his Spirit in us revealing the wonders of his word and his ways. We dare not strive to know these deep things of God or to rely on our own understanding. Our striving, our works, our efforts are as filthy rags. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, Zechariah 4:6. Relying on God that as I apply His truth, His Spirit will reveal the extent, those all things in verse 10, and the depth, the deep things of God in verse 10. Psalm 92:5 proclaims, O Lord, how great are your works, your thoughts are very deep. Our verses that we studied this week say that God, through His Spirit, wants to uncover, wants to unveil these spiritual truths. As you went through the homework, I hope you had a chance to look at and to think about what we've learned about the Holy Spirit. God has revealed them, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, to us through His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit who is from God. These things we also speak, that which the Holy Spirit teaches. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not. These things we also speak. So being prepared is knowing His Word. Being prepared is being familiar with His ways. Being prepared is receiving, recognizing, relying on what the Word of God says and how clearly He describes it. From being prepared, I believe one thing is fear. Fear of the unknown. Change. Fear, what will people think? Self, either a low self-image or a puffed up, prideful, I can do it. I can handle this one, Lord. I don't need to pray about this. Being full of eyes, I can't, I'm not, I'm only, I never. Self-consciousness is a sin. The first word in that is self. Focusing on me, my inadequacies. Either way, the prideful, puffed up, or the self-consciousness, we are not depending on God, relying on Him to do the work. Isaiah 41:10 declares, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Another thing that gets in the way of being prepared is sin. Pastor Dale once said, sin is like having a big cork in the pipeline between God and myself. Are we grieving the Holy Spirit with our worry, our anxiety, our fear, anger, bitterness, hostility? May we be women that are quick to confess, to turn from our sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Another thing that gets in the way of being prepared is doubt. Do I continually second-guess myself? would we dare second guess God? If my heart is open to doing His will, I can trust that at any moment He can turn me from my ways if they're not His ways. Trusting that where I am is where He's called me to be. So how do we go from being prepared to actually living in His power? Verses 11, 12, and 13 from 1 Corinthians. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We know the things of God by the Spirit of God. We have received the Spirit who is from God. We might know the things freely given by God. Are we living a life that is surrendered to His Spirit, controlled by His power? Why, given the assurance of His Word, do we find it difficult or nearly impossible to hear from God? How can we better hear His still small voice? Beloved, are we women who realize it is not simply a one-time being filled by the Holy Spirit, but a continuation? A life determined to seek His wisdom, His will, inviting the Spirit to control my life. Instead, we all too often do and act with what comes naturally. To be Spirit-led, I must abandon myself, submit myself to His desires for me, and look with anticipation at what God wants to do in me. A few weeks ago, I was blessed with a vacation. My sister and I took my mom on a cruise, and one of the ports was Mazatlan. While having lunch, my sister and I started talking about going parasailing. After much debate and discussion, lunch, my sister and I started talking about going parasailing. After much, they carefully place you in a harness that's attached to a huge parachute, instruct you, carefully place you landing using attached to a huge parachute, instruct, which is zip. Last, they show you how to pull on the right harness to land, and they finish, which is zip. Last, they show you how to pull on the right harness to land, and they emphasize that you pull hard. So I was ready. In my face, being raised up higher and higher over the blue feet. I love sand. After a few minutes, I was landing, gliding down, seeing everything on the beach getting closer and closer, pulling as hard as I could on my right harness. Finally, the beach getting closer and closer, pulling as hard as I could on my right harness. Finally, my feet touching the warm sand. I loved it, being 200 feet. I didn't say much about the middle part. Raising up, being 200 feet or so in the air over Breschut. Ocean being attached to a huge parachute and attached only to this, what seemed like a little tiny speedboat with a very small rope attached to the speedboat to me. And at this point, the rope is looking small and somewhat frayed. The wind would catch me and this huge parachute with big swoops of air, and my stomach would come all the way up to my throat. My heart was racing, and I was singing the Lord's Prayer. We sense him moving, urging us, gently pushing. This is when we must risk to step out in faith, maybe with fear and trembling. But it's that moment when we are in the air over the deep ocean water that we see his glory. When we are obedient, we can look back and we can realize and know it was God through his Spirit. We realize at that point God is in control. God has done this thing. Ephesians 1 says, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ. He chose us. We should be holy and without blame before him in love. Predestined us to adoption. These things are according to the good pleasure of his will. He made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. We have the forgiveness of sins. Given these truths and given the character of God, how can we not rest in being led by the Spirit? How can we know we are hearing from God? There are a few questions I find helpful to quiet my heart and to just still myself before the Lord. What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Will this, whatever the situation is, help or hinder my walk? Will this please you? Will it give you glory? What does the word say? Goes back to being prepared. Do I know the word? Will this show love? What is my motive? Do I want to pray about this? Or do I want to sit in my feelings? Sometimes when Jeff and I are struggling with an issue, the children being disobedient, or him and I just not in sync, one of us will often say, let's pray. Sometimes my selfish, prideful self would rather sit in my feelings. I don't want to pray about this. I want to be right. But if I'm truthful, I sense that the Spirit is urging me to obey, bringing to remembrance those things that I have meditated on, bringing to remembrance those things that he has prepared in me. Romans 8:26-27, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Sometimes it's just my heart before the Lord's heart, without words. The more we listen, passive activity, the more we obey, the more we hear, the more we know. We have a bird aviary in our backyard. The doves call and coo to one another, and it's a sweet sound. However, if I'm busy going about my chores or have things on my mind, it would be easy to miss those sweet sounds. Do we hear Him through His Spirit wooing us, calling us, answering us? Is my ear so keen as to hear the tiniest whisper of the Spirit? Most likely we won't receive those answers written in the sky, but we will receive the smallest word, the gentlest nudge, and these may be the easiest to ignore. In addition to searching questions of our heart and our motives, Oswald Chambers says, "Never run before God's guidance. If there is the slightest doubt, don't. If there is the slightest doubt, then He is not guiding. Whenever there is doubt, don't. Ask for a check, as Kathy has mentioned to us several times. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind a reminder. In essence, bring me up short if I'm going where You are not leading, Lord." Pastor John reminded us of the staleness in the statement, "I've always done it this way." Maybe God wants to do a new thing. Maybe God wants to take us out of our comfort zone, out of what is easy for us. Trust God's leading. Sometimes all He will show us is the next thing. Often He will not give us the whole picture. I think about doing a jigsaw puzzle, and you get the box and you put all the pieces out in front of you, and you put the picture right there so you can, okay, this piece goes there. Well, what if we didn't have the picture? And what if all we had was the next piece? He has the big picture. Take that small step of faith and then another. God is faithful to give us that next piece. What is a life given to His purpose and His plan? Verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Obeying, we must commit ourselves to the doing, commit ourselves to God's purpose. The person who God has prepared will have opportunities placed before him. Obedience is acting upon those opportunities. We are not meant to live lives as the natural man, ordinary, common, temporal, that part of us that reacts without thought. Another thought by Oswald Chambers is, "Launch all on God. Go out on the great swelling tide of His purpose, and you will get your eyes open. When you know you should do a thing and do it, immediately you know more." 1 Samuel 15:22, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. obedience is what being available is all about. He doesn't want us stuck in what we already know, spiritual truths that we've seen and already understood. No, he wants to stretch us in areas never before thought of, areas where we ourselves would never imagine, spiritual truths yet to be discovered. We all desperately need a place, a time from the invasive sounds of this world so we can hear the voice of our dear Lord. Because we have his Spirit in us, we hunger for that spiritual connection. Natural man says we are fanatic, whacked out, foolish. Why wouldn't they? The Spirit of God is not living inside the natural man, but those who are believers, born again, he stirs and wants us to know more of him, to know more of his character.
You have reached the end.
Acts 5:24 says, we must obey God rather than man. Some of you will recognize this as one of Michael Rozell's pieces from Potter's Field Ministry. This particular piece is called a God Pot. I didn't name it. Michael names his pieces, and that's what he named it, God Pot. This one happens to belong to Jeff and I. It sits in our dining room. And a few months ago, we had company for dinner. Someone asked where something was, and I turned and pointed and said, there it is on the counter next to the God Pot. Another person who I believe knows Jesus but has no walk with him as her Lord said, a what? With a curt, almost defensive tone. See, that person saw this as a big, kind of odd-shaped vase with a bunch of fat birds flying upside down and not much function to boot. For those who are familiar with Potter's Field Ministry, you know this pot represents something spiritual. It is an object that helps us remember what God wants to do in each one of us. He wants to take this lump of clay, sometimes hard, seemingly unusable, and through the washing of his word, he molds us, he shapes us. Sometimes he, the potter, must apply pressure. He must remove the gunk, the things that interfere with the making of his vessel. God must control the clay. He makes us into the vessel he purposes, he plans. Don't you love that because we have spiritual discernment, there are no coincidences? I've been reminded of this twice in the last week. That God takes everything in our lives. He takes our morning devotional time. He takes our prayer life. He takes our reading through the Bible. He takes our women's Bible study, messages from Sunday morning to Sunday night. He takes it all and weaves it together and speaks to us. I've been so blessed by reading through the book of Acts, learning about the Holy Spirit, and just allow me to share part of chapter 9 when the Lord spoke to Ananias. The Lord calls him through his Spirit, and Ananias says, here I am. He was there, he was prepared. In verse 13 of chapter 9, God tells Ananias to go to Saul, a persecutor of Christians, who's known, and to lay hands on him. This is a risk. Ananias debates some, and then God tells him, go. Simple word, go. And God adds, he is a chosen vessel of mine. One chosen by God. Verse 17, Ananias obeys. Isaiah 43:10 says, you are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Be encouraged. We are able to discern spiritual truths, spiritual things, and we are God's chosen. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, a vessel unto honor, sanctified and met for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. As we look at this God pot, or as we meditate on Ananias' calling from God, may we sit here with the same assurance that God wants to do this same thing in us. Because of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, we have this assurance. We have the mind of Christ. Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, Christ who is our life. God not only sent Christ, our Lord and Savior, he sent his Spirit, our helper, our comforter, our guide. John 14, verses 16 and 17 say, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. May we be women filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Women who are quick to recognize the importance of his word. Women who carve out time to soak in his word and sit as spiritual listeners, hearing the Holy Spirit woo us. God loves us with an everlasting love, a love that has healed our wounds, a love that transforms us by the renewing of our mind, a love that leads us by the Spirit of God. Be encouraged, beloved. We have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we say thank you. Thank you for the assurance of your word. Thank you for the way that you want to move and work in our lives. May we be yielded as unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand.